Well, we're continuing, and for that matter, we're finishing up in what we're looking at in the book of Romans as far as the lectionary is concerned this week. And what we're looking at is Paul's discussion here about what it means to be in community. Because one of the things we need to remember, one of the things we need to get clear right from the very beginning, is that what Paul is talking about as much as anything is people in conflict over taste. Paul here is not talking about a conflict between people who want to do evil against people who want to do good. You'll notice in here the examples that Paul uses are things about what we might eat or what day we might consider is a special day to the Lord. Paul is not talking about people here who think it's okay to steal. This is not the issue. So let's get that out of the way right from the very beginning. What Paul is talking about is what does it mean to live in community with each other when we don't always agree? And now I know we here in this church always agree about everything, but other churches, okay, and this one too, we do have things that we disagree about. And there's something about human beings that, for better or worse, when we're in disagreement with someone, it's virtually impossible for us to look at it from a dispassionate, objective kind of way, and just look at the two things and say, well, which is one way and which is another, to weigh them on an objective scale or a neutral scale. It seems almost all the time when we are in disagreement with people or in conflict with people, it rapidly goes from I think something and you think something else to I'm right and you're wrong, and eventually, if you grew up with my brothers, I'm right and you're stupid. So somewhere in there, we have to figure out a way to actually get along. My brothers and I got along because our parents forced us to get along, and eventually we grew out of most of that. But what do we do in the church? And Paul puts it in a really interesting metaphor, if you will, of weakness and strength. And that's where the sermon title comes from, where we say someone is always weaker. Because what Paul says right from the very beginning, and if we go to a different translation, in this case the New International Version, it begins with, "Accept them whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters." See, that's the key in here as much as anything. Is Paul is saying, first of all, let's make sure we're talking about disputable matters. Stealing is not a disputable matter. Stealing is wrong. And that's all there is to it. Killing people, murder, is wrong. This isn't what Paul's talking about. Paul is talking about, in his particular context, some people had come to the conclusion that because when you went to the market to buy meat, you never knew where it came from. Some of the meat you were going to eat without knowing could very well have been meat that was originally offered to an idol, and after this pagan sacrifice, then they just sold it. And for some people, that was a really serious issue. And as such, they said, because I can't guarantee this meat hasn't come from there, I'm not going to eat meat at all, because apparently nobody offered vegetables to idols. I will just eat vegetables. I will become a vegetarian. And I will do it to the glory of God. Paul says there are other people who looked at this and said, well, if somebody thinks they offered this to an idol, what they did is they offered it to a piece of rock that somebody hammered into a shape. And I don't care about that, because it's just a piece of rock. It means nothing to me. I know who God is. I know the living God, the real God. Meat is meat, and I happen to like it, so I'm going to eat it. Well, you would think that would cause no difficulty. The problem is that in this situation, and Paul is using this as an example, and he has others, and we can extend this wherever we want, is that the two sides of this, instead of saying, this is what I do, and you're going to do whatever you do, they said, this is what I do, and you're wrong for not doing what I do. And Paul says this is a problem. And I think we can see why. Because we're not talking about something that is easily brought down to a right or wrong situation. We're not talking about something where Scripture is clear about what you should do. There's just a wide range of possibilities in there. And Paul is saying that for some people, their faith is such that if it turns out they do something that it turns out they wish they wouldn't have done, their whole faith might be brought into question in their own mind. And Paul is saying that for some people, it's okay in this situation to think that their faith is weak. But because someone else's faith is weak, that doesn't mean that you're allowed to do whatever you want and thereby damage their faith. Paul is saying that if you are someone who looks at whatever the situation is from a perspective of strength, you need to pay attention to the fact that you are doing it from a position of strength and not do damage to this weaker sister or brother that you have. It's important for us to remember that in every situation, in every one of these disputable matters, once again, let's remind ourselves, we're talking about disputable matters. Some of us are going to be weak and some of us are going to be strong. There are all kinds of disputable matters. We just saw one this morning. There are church traditions that think baptizing someone who has not reached a particular age, and it changes all over the place, has different names. Sometimes it's called the age of accountability. Sometimes it's called being an adult. Who knows what it is? There are some people who think that those are the only people who are eligible for baptism. The Presbyterian Church obviously doesn't think that because we even baptize infants and small people like Hayden, which was very lovely this morning. This is a disputable matter. You can look till you get tired in Scripture and you will not find a definitive anything that says that one is right and the other is wrong. What you will see is a weight of evidence that supports both. So if we wanted, I suppose, we could get together and we could yell at each other over which is right and which is wrong. Or we could instead say this is a disputable matter that we are simply going to leave, and we're going to leave it for a particular reason. Because one of the things that we need to pay attention to also in this passage of Scripture isn't that Paul says, well, there are disputable matters, I hope you're okay with that, and moves on. He says, what we're looking for here is, in a disputable matter, where is the weight of your conviction? If you feel strongly about something in one of these areas, if you feel strongly that you are allowed to eat meat, it doesn't matter where it comes from, he says, according to God, that is fine for you. And if you're somebody who feels strongly that you can't risk eating meat because it may have been offered to an idol, it may interfere with your witness to other people, it may interfere with your own spirituality. If you are not eating meat and you are a vegetarian out of conviction, God says that's fine for you as well. Different behaviors, equally applauded by God, because your conviction is what makes the difference. In the Presbyterian Church, we baptize small people because we believe that baptism is a much larger thing than an individual conversation between a person and God. And we say it involves all of us in a way that not every tradition thinks. And we have a conviction about that that has been laid out and explained for centuries. When we baptized Hayden, it was from the conviction that that puts him in a stream of practice and in a religious tradition that values God's initial reaching out to people before we even know he's reaching out to us. And because of that conviction, what we have done is pleasing to God. If we weren't so sure about this, if we thought, well, we just better do it, we don't know whether it's any good, we don't know whether it's right, we don't know any of those things, that's where it becomes a problem. And that's where we suddenly find ourselves in this position of weakness. Paul says that if our conviction is strong about these disputable matters, then we are okay. If our conviction is strong, that doesn't mean that we have a right to tell other people whose conviction is not as strong or is different than ours that they're wrong. And as I was thinking about this, as I was considering where this takes us, something crossed my mind, and there's a lovely and lengthy theological word that we need to worry about here called antinomianism. It's one of my favorite ones. And what antinomianism means is basically lawlessness, where everybody does whatever they want. Antinomianism is where it says, is the idea that I decide everything. There is no objective anything. I get, you know, what feels good to me is what I'm going to do, and that's fine, and it should be fine for you too. So how do we escape that? Because obviously we don't live our lives that way. We might want to live our lives that way, but we certainly don't want other people to live their lives that way. So let's just say that nobody can. Well, what saves us from that is living in community, in a non-judgmental community. Because Paul also further down says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? He's talking about other believers. These other believers who serve God, who are you to judge them? That's God's responsibility. Your responsibility for judging anyone, if you want to put it in that language, is judging yourself. Is your conviction strong? Are your motives clear? Then yes, you should do what you are going to do in these disputable matters, but you should leave everybody else alone. We stay in community, a community that doesn't judge us as being foolish or intentionally bad or anything else. A community that sees us for who we are, people struggling to figure out how it and what it means to follow God in a complicated world. And it's that community that helps us see these areas where we're weak, these areas where we're not sure, and helps us understand what it is that we do need to do. It's community that keeps us on the rails. And as I was thinking of this, I may have come up with a new image for this whole thing. I've never heard it anywhere before, so I'm going to try it out on you first of all. Community is like being on a train. A passenger train, which hardly any of us have been on anymore because we don't have very many of them here. But if you've ever been on a passenger train, you know that there are some things about a passenger train, namely that it has more than one car. And as soon as you get onto the passenger train, you are all on the same car. We're all on the same train. We are all on the same train going in the same direction. There's a bunch of things that we all believe in common. We believe things about the objective nature of truth. We believe that God exists. We believe God loves us. We believe that murdering people is wrong. There's a whole bunch of things we all believe together. But then there's a bunch of others that we're not so sure about. I know people who will not put another book on top of the Bible because they think it's disrespectful. I will put another book on top of the Bible. I won't throw a Bible around. We've got a different view of the physical nature of Scripture. But we're still on the same train. Now, sometimes these things are kind of big. For example, we have a whole car for Presbyterians because we baptize small people, and another car for other people who only baptize grown-ups. Some people say you have to be old enough to drive a car or vote or whatever else it might be. And they're in a different car, but it's the same train. And even in the same car that we're in, some people want to sit next to a window. Some people want to sit next to an aisle. Some people like standing. Some people sleep on the train. Some people read books. We have a huge range of things that we can do when we're all on the same train. But we're all on the same train. And part of what we do when we're on the train is we help people who are also on it. So we don't care whether you want to sit on the aisle or you want to sit next to a window. But if you want to sit on top of somebody, we'll probably tell you that you might not want to do that. And maybe we'll help you find a better seat. You might like listening to your music really loud and other people might not want to hear it. And so maybe we'll help you find your headphones. But we won't do it from a perspective of we're just putting up with you and you're kind of dumb. We won't do it from a perspective of we're not really sure why you're on this train at all, let alone in our car. We'll do it from the perspective that says you're on the train, so you're one of us. You're a passenger, just like we are. And you're in our car, which means you're part of our community. And we're going to do everything we can to make this trip as good for you as possible. And sometimes that means that we'll put up with you sitting on us for a little bit. Or we'll listen to your loud music that we rather wouldn't. Or we'll listen to your conversation with somebody on the phone that we really don't need to hear and we would rather not. And we'll do that because we see the value of this whole train and the car we're on. And we are more concerned that everybody get to the destination than that we be completely comfortable the whole way. Sometimes those of us who are strong in a particular area need to bend to those who are weak. It's part of being in community. And we do this because, well, sometimes you're the weak one, but sometimes I am. There are things in this community and in this train and on this car that I simply can't do for myself. And you have to help me. And there are some things that you can't do for yourselves. And then I get to help you. And that's where the community comes from. And that's what the community looks like. The honest acknowledgement of weakness, my own or someone else's, doesn't diminish me or them. What it does is it provides an opportunity for me to see where my strength might assist their weakness. Someone's always weaker. There's always somebody weaker than you, but there's always somebody stronger than you, because that's the nature of what it is to be in community and to be a human being at all. And so as we travel on this train, to push the metaphor just a little bit further, let's make the journey as good as it can possibly be for all the people around us by giving help when they need it, but also receiving help when we need it. I like being in community. I've tried the other, and it doesn't work. It's very unhappy. It's very unsuccessful. In community, wonderful things can happen. As long as we admit that sometimes we're weak, and sometimes we're strong, and we can always help each other. Amen.